Intellect, it is our spirit directly communicating with God for a very good reason. He's trying to get us to grow up in this area. He's trying to save us from using these rash words, things that we don't really mean. Isn't it wonderful that, you know, when we have said these things before God, God is there listening, and all the while he's knowing that we don't actually mean that. Isn't that wonderful that he doesn't put us down, he doesn't reject us or turn his back on us, but he's there knowing full well that we don't actually mean what we're saying, but he's going to work with us until he gets our words, what we say, lining up in harmony with the word of God. See, the Lord isn't going to have us confessing fear. He's not going to have us confessing unbelief. He's going to work and work and work with us until those confessions that come out of our mouth change, whatever the circumstance may be, no matter how you may be feeling, or even what the doctor's report that says. The report that we should always be longing for and listening to is God's report, God's word, not man's word or man's report. We wait on God. We listen to what he is saying. We're all too quick to believe what man says first, and then we take it to God. And then we wonder why we can't hear what God is saying, because we listened and we believed man's report first instead of believing God's report first. And it still goes on in full gospel assembly. I still hear it. We're still too quick to listen to what bank manager will say or what the doctor will say, or what the husband or wife will say, or your relative will say, or whoever it will be. Okay, let them speak, let them say what they need to say, let them give that medical report over you, but keep quiet and then go before God and wait on him. Wait until he speaks. Wait till he works in your heart, so that your words are lining up with God's words. This is so important, brothers and sisters, because our faith must line up with the word of God, because if it doesn't, we will speak rashly before God. We will say things before him what we don't mean, and nothing will come of it. The same as the disciples and Peter. Nothing came of that statement. We will even die to the death with you. We will not forsake you, and so forth. They were speaking out of fear. They were speaking out of emotions. And how often do we likewise do the same? If we feel that fear trying to oppress, or if we find ourselves in a situation where it's gone completely the opposite, it looks as though it's all collapsing around you, the best thing you can ever do, keep quiet, zip lip, and get before God. And let God speak. Otherwise, your fears, your emotions, your anger, your frustrations will speak. And God is trying to get us to grow up in this area, because otherwise we can be snared by our words. And the enemy's got a hold. He's got a foothold if you are confessing something opposite to God's word. And he will have a hold, he'll have a grip, and it doesn't matter how much cry or before God or tell God to get Satan off your back, God will tell you, you change your confession. You line your confession, your faith, your heart, your belief with my word. Then you'll find the enemy flees. You see, our words carry weight before God. And we tend to think at times, oh, well, it's God, he knows. He knows sometimes I don't mean it or whatever it is. Well, would you like a friend? Would you like your partner where you say things to them, well, they know me well, they know I don't really mean that. You can't build relationships on that. You can't trust someone if they say things and then they don't keep it. They don't keep their promises. This is why so many marriages are breaking up. Well, it's the same with God. God does have feelings. God can be offended by what we say. But thank God for the blood of Jesus that does cleanse our sin. But we don't use that. That's the whole point. We don't expose it as something cheap before God. What he did for us at Calvary, it cost him everything. And we appreciate the blood of Jesus that does cleanse, that does forgive, that does cast that sin away as far as the east is to the west. Oh boy, we should really, really appreciate that. And praise and thank him. Hallelujah. You see, it's interesting that Peter's exposure caused great tears and grief. We know that. When the cock crew, he realized what Jesus said, three times the cock will crow and you will deny me. And he went out and he wept bitterly. He was in grief. He was in torment. He realized that his words, what he had said, everything that came out of his mouth was simply hot air. It cut him to the core. And in many ways that should be like that with us when we make these rash promises and find we can't keep them. It should cause us to repent. It should cause us to really listen. And to consider that I need to be wise what I say before Almighty God. But of course we know that Peter was forgiven. Because we know that the Lord restored him. Peter wasn't concerned about himself or what a fool he looked like or whatever it is. We don't get any of that indication. Let's just look to where Peter is restored in John 21. Gospel of John 21, chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Three times he's getting into his heart. And on the third time, his faith is there to believe, because he says, Lord, you know all things. And that is what Jesus wanted him to know. It's what he wants us to know, that he is in such control that he knows all things. And he has a way of dropping that from at 18 inches from our heads to our hearts. And we may find that God will challenge us, speak to us in love like he is there, for a reason to get it into our hearts. In many ways we can glean something from this. This is why we often go over things, particularly faith. We go over and over and over it again. And we have for many, many years, because he's working it into the heart. So we can rest by faith, Lord, you know all things. He's getting us to a place where he's basically shutting us up. He's trying to shut Peter up, to get into a place, to stop speaking by emotions, in unbelief, in zeal, and all those things. He's trying to get him still so that he can really listen, understand, and know what comes out of his mouth. And what he says to God, he knows he will keep. Because it's cost time, it's taken time to get it from his head to his heart. This is where faith speaks from. We too often have spoken it out of the emotions, out of the mind, something we've heard or a tape we've listened to or a preaching or a passage we've read in the scripture. We run off with it, we confess it, oh, I'm in faith now, only to find we fall flat on our faces. God has a way of changing our confession. He will not have these rash words, statements, confessions said before him. Our words are to line up with God's word, because as we know, God's word is that two-edged sword. And the word that we speak is that sword, and that sword cuts, divides. That sword is the only weapon that will deal with the enemy, deal with the realm of the spirit. It is not for the realm of the flesh, it is for the realm of the spirit to wield its work, to deal with the enemy. And that is what God is working with us, so that we speak the word, we speak against those cancers, those demons, those sicknesses, whatever is hindering. Our words are spoken by the power of the Spirit, by the anointing. When you're a preacher and teacher, you are thrown onto the unction of the anointing. You have to totally depend upon the power of the Spirit to enable you to be able to address and speak the Word of God, to speak to God's people. We now need to learn that as we speak, as we're used in prayer, as we wait on God, so that our words carry weight, our words give life, and that we don't speak rashly. We don't make promises that we can't keep. We don't patronize a Christian that comes to us because they're battling or whatever it is. We don't do anything like that. Maybe sometimes it's not the right time to speak when they're wanting to find out something. Or maybe you simply have to say, I don't know, unless God reveals. We know that Jesus walked by that principle. He spoke and done only that which was revealed by the Holy Spirit. That is the same for us, the principle that we walk by. We do not know unless God reveals, because otherwise we will get it intellectually wrong. Our minds have to be illuminated. Our minds have to be open. Our heart or spirit has to be touched. We speak from the heart. We speak out of those wells of living water. This is why we must not be rash, too quick before God to say things or make promises that we find we can't keep. And when Peter was restored, which we've just read, we read here one of the greatest things that our Lord asked him to do is to feed my lambs, tend to my sheep. What a great responsibility. What a great privilege. The Lord knew that he would be the right man, along with the rest of the disciples, that he could entrust his people, his sheep, to. And he was now beginning to do that work with him in his heart, and he was getting a true confession out of his lips at long last, and not all that hot air, that zeal, and all those broken promises in the past that he made. And the same God, the same Holy Spirit that restored him, is the same one who's doing it with you and I, preparing us for the end time ministry and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is shortly to be seen. But we know a harvest is out there to be brought in. The laborers are few, but those laborers are making themselves ready. Just like Isaiah, he heard the voice of God speak. Is anyone there? Anyone wish to be used, and so on. And he responded. And the same is with us. God isn't going to force you. He's not going to place that calling there so that you can go out and witness or whatever. It's those who walk close to the Lord who hear that calling, who hear that still small voice. Here am I, use me. Hallelujah. Well, we need to consider what we're saying before God. And a wise man or woman is going to take heed, and is going to go before God and be still and quiet, and let God, for a change, speak to you, instead of you bringing your list always before him. Be still and know that I am God. Heavenly Father, again tonight, thank you for exhorting us. Thank you for showing us, Lord, where we can be snared by our own words. We've said so many things, Lord. If we could only take them back, but we can't. And we are utterly dependent on the blood of Jesus that cleanses and washes. Father, we give our mouths, our words, our hearts. We give it all to you, Lord, that you will change what comes out of our mouths. Help us, Father, to speak your word, to harmonize our confession with your word. And Lord, if we say contrary, then please in your mercy, pull us up so that we can deal with it, renounce it, and get it under the blood of Jesus. We don't want to be snared by our mouths. This is why we have illustrations in the scriptures, and like Peter, they're to help us, it's to warn us. But we know, Lord, that this can't be done in the natural. It can only be done by the power of your Spirit, by the fullness of God living in and through us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this teaching tonight. We believe, Lord, that the fruit of this word will be seen in our lives. That's why you've called us to hear it tonight. And our faith believes that we will live this for your glory. And so, Lord, I thank you tonight for our sharing. I thank you for the saints who have come into the room. Again, be with them. Be with them this week. Keep them covered by the blood of the Lamb. Help them to walk very close with you and in fellowship. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Down before you and cradled in their love.